Good morning, everyone. We're at the culmination of Catholic Schools Week, and so I want to offer just a word of the incredible gift that Catholic education is, and in particular here in Dickinson. It's a gift to be able to have Catholic education, Trinity Schools, here from pre-K all the way through 12th grade. But it's not just a gift to have Catholic school, but to have a really good Catholic school. It's not perfect, but it's really good. And the gift that Catholic education is not just, okay, here's a regular education, which might be really good in itself, and then it's Catholic, and so it's like this extra really great add-on, like a cherry on top of the sundae. That's not what Catholic education is. It's an incredible gift because at the very center, at the heart of Catholic education is truth. It is the person who is truth. It's Jesus. And that connects everything else that a person learns about. And it's a formation, it's an education of the whole person, the mind, the body, and the soul for eternity. It's a gift. It's also a sacrifice too. It's a sacrifice for the families who send and over the years have sent to Trinity Catholic Schools. It's a sacrifice for the parishes, the four parishes who sponsor and support Trinity Schools. And it's a sacrifice, too, for all those who teach, who are in administration, support staff at Trinity Schools, too. It's a real sacrifice for them. But all sacrifice leads to new life. That it brings forth new life and to know that. And so the last thing is just a word of deep gratitude. To you families, to you supporters, and to you who work in Trinity Schools, thank you. I told the teachers at Trinity East on Friday this, and it's the absolute truth. And it's true for all parents. And in a particular way for teachers, you just don't get to see a whole lot of the fruit that comes from what you give to the children day in and day out, the love that you pour into them. You get to see some of it, but there's so much of it that you don't see, but it is real and it is worth it. So thank you. A word on the readings. The gospel is always meant to be something that challenges us in a deep way. And if it doesn't, it's not really the gospel. Especially in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which he begins here. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he says continually, "You have heard it said. You have heard it said." This is how you think things are. "But I tell you, you have heard it said that this is the way that the world works. But I tell you, you have heard it said that this is what true happiness consists in. But I tell you." And here, he is holding up the Beatitudes. "You have heard it said that who are the great people in history, in world history? Who are the ones, when you look over the course from ancient all through the history that stretches out across the globe, who are the people who are the real movers and shakers of history, the prominent men and women? You look and you have and you pick out certain ones in which you are like, they really changed the course of history here with this nation here. They were a prominent figure. Maybe for really great ways or for real evil ways. But we have this idea of these men and women, oftentimes of immense power, immense prestige or wisdom. And we think, in our worldly way, that these are the great men and women who really shaped history and where we're at today. But Jesus in the Beatitudes says, but I tell you, the great men and women of history are most often not the ones who you read about in the history books and whose names are known and beloved the whole world over. That those people and their accomplishments are nothing. St. Paul uses the word, they are reduced to nothing, to dust. If they are not seeking after God and seeking to serve Him, that the great people of history are the children of the Beatitudes. That there is a true history that is being played out from the beginning of the world, which we're in the midst of, and it'll go on. But that true history, the really great and influential men and women, are those of the Beatitude who are often those who are forgotten, hidden, humble, those who are poor of spirit, those who are the fools, those who are meek and humble. There are some whose names are known, but they are the great men and women of history only if they be saints, which a saint is one who ends up in heaven. That their life, in its most important merit stage, is one in which it was serving God. I had a number of funerals this week, and so it's been a lot on my mind. And I remembered, in the midst of it, the very smallest funeral I ever had, in which many people, like if you could be a little bug on the wall and see it, you would have thought, what a sad funeral. Because, you know, it was in a big church like this, and it was the funeral director, myself, and maybe like 3-4 other people. This lady, though, she lived a long life, and most all of her family had died in really sort of tragic and heart-wrenching ways. And she lived her last number of years alone, for the most part, homebound. A lot of suffering and a lot of what you would see as loneliness, just being alone. But I tell you, this woman whose funeral I had, she was a woman, truly a child of the Beatitudes. Because I could go over and just share, and I knew her just a little bit, all sorts of little things about her life, and you'd find them boring. You would. But that doesn't reveal the greatness of her soul. Those last years of her life, in which she had done a lot in her earlier life, and we think, right, the way we think our lives work is that we're young and we're learning, and then we have the important time of our life where we come of age, and we head out into the world, and we get married, we find our vocation, we raise our families, we enjoy our grandchildren, and then sometimes there are those last years of our life in which, you know, we might be in a nursing home or we might be alone and we're sick and suffering. But those are just those years in which, and you hear people say, they're like, and they say it out of a beautiful place in their heart at times, that, you know, I'm just ready to go be with God. The Lord, He can take me at any time, I'm ready. I tell Him, well, He's not ready, obviously. But it's this mentality. You have heard it said and you think it to be, that those years in your life, even if they be a number of those years, that they're not really important. That they're kind of just the tail on, the add-on of your life, which, pray God, they won't last that long if they're filled with suffering or loneliness. But this woman, all of her suffering and the loneliness she experienced and the heartache from years of tragedy in her life, hard things, She intentionally and continually made that an offering to God. And she had a particular devotion of offering that to God continually as a prayer for those who are forgotten, for those in the world who have no one else to pray for them, who have no one else who even think of praying for them, for those in the church who are struggling greatly, for the poor souls in purgatory, for those in her family who are far from God and even far from her, that this was her continuous offering of her life, especially in these last years, and the only fruit that she could see of it was one of the people at her funeral who was her caretaker for that last year, who just once a week for like an hour she would go and visit her. And she had shared, "I like to visit with the family," or somebody who knows the person a little bit, even if I know them before the funeral, just to come to know them a little bit more. And it was the caretaker I visited with. And she shared that over the course of those visits, seeing the happiness, the joy in this lady, the beatitude, which means divine happiness, it completely turned her heart. It converted her heart, which had been hard and filled with resentment and bitterness and self-pity. She said it changed her. And this was maybe the one fruit that this lady saw. But her life was one of beatitude. Her, and there's so many more like her, many in our own parish. But these, everyone, these are the people in the kingdom of God, when we look out at the true history of the world and we see who were those truly great souls, the great people who really shaped history, it'll be people like her and others like her who were poor in spirit, who were meek and humble, and that they will be the ones who are able to truly rejoice with the greatest joy. For all of that, God takes and he shapes the true history of the world through it. And so for all of you, in whatever you have in life, whatever stage you are in life, whether you're a school teacher or a homemaker, or you're retired and you're in your last years of life and you're like, all my life is already lived, and each day can seem very repetitive and dry, and we lose the meaning and purpose of it, remember that it is the children of the Beatitudes. It is the children of the Beatitudes who are the great people of history. And that if you are seeking God and seeking to serve him with joy and with love, blessed are you. Happy are you. For great will be your reward.